Next on BYUSN, head basketball coach Kevin Young and Cougar Hoops keep it rolling. They add another four-star transfer. What does he bring to BYU? And what do the Cougars need to add next? Jonathan Tabernari will join us to discuss the recruiting efforts and just how good he thinks BYU can really be this season.
ESPN's first Football Power Index rankings are out for the 2024 season. Where is BYU ranked? And is it fair? Not one, but two former Cougar baseball stars got the call to the big leagues this weekend, both impressed. And who was the best BYU quarterback ever? We've got a 16-player bracket, beginning with Ty Detmer versus Virgil Carter, baby.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation for June Bracketology and more. Presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is June 3rd, specifically. I am Spencer Linton alongside EA Sports College Football 25 ratings insider, Jerem Jordan.
It's in the game, Spence. We got a screenshot. Colton, where is this from again? I don't even know where the screenshot is. But it's of EA Sports, like the matchup, like you're going to select sides here. Look at BYU. It's from EA Sports, okay? They sent it personally to Colton. 87 overall, 87 wow. Offense, 80 defense.
That's now, favorable.
Player and team ratings shown are not final and subject to change. There's no way because it's going to be an 87.
Now, Utah's numbers actually kind of make sense.
Those could actually be Utah's numbers.
For
but
sure.
BYU's probably in the 70s somewhere. Offense is not going to be, you know, super high. Defense is going to be a little higher. But it's BYU's job to overcome said quote-unquote ratings and Vegas predictions and FPI, which we'll talk about.
Yes.
It is the Cougars' mantra. Yeah, play some motivational music, whatever that was. BYU's going to do it. They're going to be way better than people think, we hope. We hope.
Topic for another day. Yeah. Where would you rate BYU overall offense and then on defense as it pertains to the actual college football season?
Right, and it's based on what you did last year, and last year was not good. So you could make it low, and that'd be fair. It's BYU's job to overcome said perceptions and ratings.
Yes. What would the 84 team rate as? Now that's a question.
Strength of schedule was terrible, but they won all the games.
They did do that. Still hurts Washington, doesn't it? All rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending.
Bridging that gap of NBA and BYU, I think Kevin Young's the right guy to push that forward.
Elite hire. It's a new era at BYU.
What's trending presented by BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event. BYU basketball and head coach Kevin Young sign on another four-star transfer. He will remain unnamed until we can officially announce him through Brigham Young University policy.
But there's this tweet.
But it's out on social media at Tipton Edits if you'd like to see those specifics. What does the most recent signing for Kevin Young and BYU basketball mean for the future of Cougar Hoops?
Brandon Dunson, assistant coach, came over from Stanford on the staff now, told us a couple of weeks ago that one of the positions they were targeting was a 6'6 or 6'7 wing defender with some athleticism.
Got him!
This is the guy. Tore his ACL in February 2023. It will have been 19 months off of that. I've been told he's going to be good to go. Very versatile, can switch, can defend on ball, can help really well, gets out in transition. I watched a 25-minute YouTube highlight video of said player last night. I really like him. Plus passer. Didn't shoot it well from three last year, 24%.
30% the year before that, yeah?
Yeah, 32% last year, though, against KenPom Tier A teams. So okay. He's actually better against the good teams. Fills that tall wing defender role. Incredible story, by the way. Grew up in Sudan, left his war-torn home country for Australia as a kid, and now he's in the United States thriving. Been at Rutgers the last 4 years. If healthy, he very well could start, Spence.
Yep.
And he could be kind of that other wing guy, or you could even go small and have him at the four if you want. His BPR was 3.95 in 2022-23 when healthy, which was actually higher than Jackson Robinson's number from last year. So I really like it. It fills one of the needs that BYU has, which is what they said out loud with that wing defender now, and he got a little more athletic.
This transfer from a school that rhymes with Mutgers is going...
I already said Rutgers.
Yeah, it's true. is going to probably defend every BYU opponent's best player.
Yep.
That's probably going to happen.
And it will.
It is a role that he embraces. It's why BYU wanted him so badly. So I love that he's going to be on the wing annoying those high-level scores in the Big 12. And there are going to be a lot of them.
Yep.
It's going to be a huge task night in and night out, but BYU will rely heavily on this guy to defend an opponent's best player and best scorer. So huge gap for BYU defensively. I'm not so much concerned with the lower three-point percentage because he does enough. He makes enough that you still have to be like, okay, maybe I need to respect this.
Made 12 last year in limited action coming off the ACL.
Yes. Yeah. Like he has that capability, mm-hmm. and so you still have to somewhat respect it, which will still allow BYU to space the floor and work in Kevin Young's innovative offense. So super excited that BYU got a guy that they feel like can defend an opponent's best player. That was a huge priority. BYU has their man. Now what, though? Because
which is topic two.
The scholarships are dwindling, yeah. but BYU still has needs.
Yeah, two scholarships left. So what is the need with those two?
I still want size, and I still want a bucket getter. Like those are the two things that I would add for BYU. If there's a guy out there that is 6'10 or above, just pure muscle and size, I would love BYU to have some more inside presence, more inside depth in the front court, because if an injury happens, heaven forbid, to Fouche Traore or Kabakeda or this guy that we will talk about as soon as we can by name, yep. then BYU's in a little bit of trouble. They just need to add some depth in yep. size. I know that there is a preferred walk-on out there that is really tall, 6'11 above. That's great. BYU needs a scholarship big to help bolster the depth there. And then who's the guy that in a crunch, Jerem, is just going to be your bucket getter? Who is that guy? Can BYU go out and get an elite level
score?
There's
a certain Russian lottery pick that I think is going to be that guy. Dawson Baker could be that guy. But yeah, add another guy. I want another. I don't want Elijah Crawford and Brody Kozlowski to have to be very good this year. I think they
give
could.
Him, you want to give him time.
I want to give him time. I want to give him a sec to kind of develop and get into college and get into this new coaching staff and system. It'll be new for everybody. But I don't want Brody Kozlowski to have to score 10 yeah. a game right away. Elijah Crawford, the pressure's off as a point guard right now because you got experienced Dallin Hall. You got freshman incoming Russian lottery pick, potential star. Elijah Crawford can kind of ease his way into this, which is awesome. Because then Elijah can be the guy if said Russian star goes out after one and done behind Dallin Hall as a senior. And everything's TBD. You hope everyone stays and there's continuity with roster year to year. You can transfer after 1 year. You hope no one leaves, but the reality is there will be guys that leave. So I'm with you. A power forward specifically would be nice so that you don't have to start a Brody or said Rutgers transfer
yep.
and go a little small there. That'd be great. And then you can match up, and if there's injuries or ineptitude, you can move around a little bit. Yeah, if you had a rim-protecting 5-2, that'd be nice.
Just some big size.
Because Kata plays bigger than 6'8". He's more like a 6'9", 6'10 guy in terms of his length.
But he didn't play starter minutes last year.
Well, they had two guys up at Utah that they really liked. Like Carlson was your main guy. And
sure.
There was another guy.
Kata struggled with some foul trouble as well.
His per 40 fouls is high. So you do need another guy or two in the post. I wouldn't mind if it was just straight up two post players.
Okay.
I wouldn't mind. But it would be nice to add another guy there. We'll talk about it on the wing. We'll talk about this at a future day. But I could see a starting lineup that suddenly features four new starters. Like Dallin Hall would be your main guy. But you're bringing in said lottery pick from Russia to start. He's not coming off the bench.
Sure.
Kata probably starts to me.
Okay.
There'll be a battle with Fouse there for who's start. I just think Fouse is a better backup center
yeah.
than he is starter against who's start, second
who's
units.
Who's starting at the three? Is it Trevin Nell? Is it Richie
and that's
Saunders?
The question.
Is it Dawson Baker?
Is it Rutgers transfer?
Yeah.
There's some real depth on the wing. And I think BYU is 10 deep right now, walking into the season. I really do. Maybe 9 if you're bringing Crawford along. And then Trey Stewart, like, does he make a leap and contend for more minutes? We'll see. But you still have two scholarships. So I really like this roster. It is indeed upgraded from last year. And that was a good team. I think BYU was a very good team, Spencer. They didn't have, like, a superstar.
They had great chemistry.
Yeah, great chemistry, continuity. They understood the system. They played it really well. They played super hard, and they played smart. And BYU shot when... BYU shot the ball well enough at 32%. They were hard to beat.
Yeah.
They will not be reliant on just making threes
no.
like last year,
nope.
by the way. They're going to have more skill inside, and you're going to have more in terms of, like, Ali Khalifa's knee was not healthy. Kaba Keita is healthy, and he can run around in a different way. He doesn't bring the passing that Ali Khalifa had. But I just like the versatility that said Russian star and Dawson Baker bring that you did not have last year.
The thing that BYU fans may be frustrated with is that with more talent on the roster, straight up, you compare last year and this year, there's just more talent on the new roster with Kevin Young.
Yeah.
No debate, right? But there will be some growing pains.
A little younger.
And some time for this team to gel and be cohesive. It's kind of like if you play golf and you get some new golf clubs, there's this mental aspect in your mind where it's like, I have new clubs, I'm going to be better at the game. It takes you a little while to get used to the new club.
And hopefully there's some dumpy opponents BYU can just crush right? at the beginning.
Yes, it takes a little while for you to get used to new things, and then like you see the full measure of what they're capable of, but you're going to, like, and I'm speaking to all BYU fans, you're going to have to be patient for a little bit for this team to have time to, like, gel. And hopefully by the time they get to the Big 12, they're rocking and rolling. But it'll be weird at first because, like, no, there's more talent. What's going on? There will be a couple of those games.
You're just young with that talent. You're bringing in two ESPN Top 100 guys and said Russian lottery pick. Russian who is lottery pick. I guess Russia doesn't have a lottery. Maybe they do for military. I don't know. But, like, what is that going to look like for BYU on the court? And it's going to take a sec, like you said. It doesn't immediately just be awesome. But maybe it is, because today's June 3rd, and a lot of the guys are going to be in camp. I don't think the two guys we haven't named out loud are going to be there, would be my understanding. We haven't even announced them officially. Why would they be practicing? It's going to take that group some time to come together, but it starts today.
For sure. That group. Listen, it's always fun to get new things, right? New skis, new snowboard, new golf clubs, new equipment. Sometimes it takes a little while to get used to them before you, like, experience how great they really are. So be patient with this team. But, gosh, it's hard to be patient because it's super exciting for sure. BYU football, on the other hand, is kind of the opposite end of the spectrum right now, Jerem. And according to ESPN's initial football power index rankings, the Cougars enter at number 73, which in mathematical terms, based on how many Division I FBS teams there are, is bottom half.
And a prime number, which you know I love.
Good. You do love prime numbers. I don't know that you love 73 as it's associated with BYU.
No, I would have preferred 17.
But is 73 fair for BYU at this juncture?
Yeah. Well, yeah, BYU has to prove otherwise. It's just frustrating because last year BYU was this close to being two games different, right? They weren't. They were 5-7.
Even if they win one of those, they probably show up at like 62 in this
list. But still, like, there's no reason for BYU to be the top 40 or 50 at this point. They need to show it on the field. But this is a great spot for BYU to be in. Only issue is the FPI top five teams BYU plays. Four at home, by the way. Utah's the road game. So Kansas State, Arizona, Oklahoma State. It's a good home schedule, dude.
Yeah, like for sure.
It really is. But is it fair? Yeah. Like, BYU's got to prove on the field otherwise. I know this takes into account, like, projections from Bill Connelly and the numbers and whatnot. But I don't think BYU's going to finish 73rd. I would hope they're top 60.
If they win six games?
If they go 6-6.
They will.
Because
they play a more difficult Big 12 schedule and their strength of schedule will be formidable, to say the least. Yep. BYU will have opportunities to bump that number up significantly. 4.8 wins projected, which is 0.3 higher than the 4.5 Vegas has been projecting for the Cougars.
Yay.
I think most experts are stuck on BYU winning five games.
Hey, we have some tops on there. That's nice.
Yes, we do. We'll talk more about those officially announced kick times coming up in the whip.
I would have changed one of those only, by the way. I'll tell you later.
Ooh, I like that as a tease. 35% chance for BYU to win six or more games, according to the ESPN FPI. 35% chance. But favorable home schedule, Kansas, K-State, Arizona, Oklahoma State, all in Provo. Only top five Big 12 team you're going to play on the road is Utah. So can BYU take advantage of that and overperform?
We need 4-2 at home. We need 4-2.
That's a topic for another day, too. Yeah. What will BYU's home record be? How much does home field advantage at Lavelle Edwards Stadium matter?
It does, especially when it's at night since 2019. I know last year it didn't, like, play out exactly at the 90% clip or whatever BYU was winning, but it's still a thing. BYU is a tremendous team at home at night. So 8-15s all around, please. Just It's 6 on, right?
No 10 a.m. starts like BYU had against Oklahoma?
10 a.m.
Even though they were in prime position to win that game.
It was cloudy and dark as if it was night.
Second to last team rated in the Big 12.
Who was lowest? I'm assuming
Houston?
Houston.
Or was it Arizona State?
Probably, yeah, one of those.
Okay, it's Houston. Okay, so it's Houston.
So Arizona State had a better shot than BYU.
Just expect that BYU, because coaches and sports information directors that vote in the preseason Big 12 poll.
It's mainly just coaches' poll, right? They don't do a media one.
But do the coaches actually vote, or is it the sports information
I would think
directors?
They have the time on this one. In season, no. But, no, BYU is going to be 14th or 15th.
They're going to be somewhere between 13 and 16.
Yeah.
Right?
13, what, over – people like Cincinnati. I'm trying to think who the four
– Baylor.
Baylor. Yeah.
Baylor's a big question.
It's not going to be favorable. Nothing in the preseason is going to be like, dude, BYU's going to be good. Nothing. No one.
By the way, the highest rated team in the FPI, Kansas. Yeah.
Kansas.
Number 17.
Over the mighty Utah?
Utah's 27. Utah's
what?
Fifth.
What?
Fifth in the FPI.
Wow.
Kansas State, Arizona, Oklahoma State, 1, 2, 3, 4, then Utah.
Don't give that to your friend Daryl.
How about this? I know. How about this, though? 7 Big 12 teams in the top 30 of the FPI. 7.
Will there be an elite team? Because my fear for the Big 12 is not
it's very
the
balanced.
Quality of
very balanced.
Good-ish teams. Will there be a great team?
Utah is the team that most experts think it will be.
Yeah. Can Oklahoma State be that team? With Ollie Gordon.
Who's going to be picked to win the conference?
The 27th. He's
awesome.
I
am fascinated by what the coaches think.
Will Utah get the nod? Or will it be Oklahoma State?
As it pertains to who they think is going to win the Big 12.
Kansas is not going to be the outright, we think Kansas is going to win the league. Like, that's not going to happen. It's going to be Utah or Oklahoma State, I think, which is going to be fascinating.
BYU's right where they want to be, Jerem. I'm telling you, right. Zero expectations.
We do love hype.
Zero expectations.
But BYU's better when there's negative hype.
Jerem, give me the clearance rack, Ross Dress for Less, all day, every day with BYU football.
No one thinks they can do it.
We're looking for gems in the clearance rack.
Okay? I'm sorry, your cause is just, but I can do nothing for you, BYU in the polls. You know what I mean?
They're right where they want to be. We know a thing or two about that, given how we started this show. Zero expectations for this show, right?
Still are.
Come on.
There still are zero expectations. We're still here. That tells
Rewind
you everything you need to know.
11 years ago in those conversations, very low expectations. Very low.
I think the quote was, well, it can't be worse than what we already have at 10 o'clock.
But we benefited from that. BYU can benefit from this as well in their football realm.
Our be better than this show.
Our question of the day.
Please.
BYU football, 73rd in ESPN's FPI.
Boo.
Are the Cougars better than the 73rd team in the country?
Someone's like, no, they're 68th.
At O. Joe Henry on X says, it all comes down to quarterback play. If Jake Retzlaff can ball, BYU will be much better than 73rd.
Yeah, got to have great quarterback play.
I feel
play.
BYU has enough on the roster right now to win 6 games. I think the defense would be better. If quarterback play can make enough plays, which I think it will in some way, 6. But if you want to win more than 6, then I agree with that. It's quarterback play.
Amen.
Yep. Hashtag BYUSN on X, Facebook, and Instagram.
Make sure to tune in this Friday so we can have a day off. BYU Sports Nation Deep Blue Special featuring incredible stories from BYU football players and coaches like Cody Epps, Jay Hill, and Eddie Heckard. Friday, noon Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio. Spencer will be in his backswing at the 6th hole at Sleepy Ridge.
Actually, I'll be at a football camp at BYU.
Nice.
Picking up my son.
Nice, dude.
Let's go. Up next, Jerem goes one-on-one with former BYU basketball sharpshooter Jonathan Tavernari to discuss, is BYU actually better on paper right now than they were last year? Gave you our opinion. This is BYUSN.
This segment of BYU Sports Nation presented by BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event.
Kevin to come in and really do a good job of keeping much of the court.
King Richard! Dallin Hall knocks it down.
Trevin Nell drives it to the hole.
Yes! Three-pointer! Good! Foose again!
Andrew Saunders will hang and
hit! Oh, shot!
This place has so much to offer.
We are live in Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I'm Spencer Linton alongside Jerem Jordan earlier this morning. Jerome had an opportunity to speak with his Portuguese-speaking buddy, Jonathan Tavernari.
Yeah, I always like talking to JT. We go way back. We were in school at the same time. And we conversed about a lot of things with BYU Hoops on fire right now. Here's that conversation. JT is back on the program. Como vai, amigo?
Tudo bem. Tudo bem, meu irmão.
Tudo beleza. Good to have you back in the States. You were in Brazil last time we were chatting. You were back home in Sao Paulo. So the comforts of the United States are back. And hey, BYU's been crushing it on the recruiting trail. What have you made of some of the most recent commitments for the Cougars?
You know, I'm shocked to tell you, but a good shocked. You know what I mean? Never in my wildest dreams, and I think, Jerome, because you follow other sports and you also follow soccer and you understand European sports, I don't think the coin has dropped of what the magnitude is of having a lottery pick prospect. Because that's what, I don't know if you can say the name, I can't. I'm not related to anything. I actually donate, so I guess I'm paying for all of this right now in a way. But Yegor choosing BYU to come to Provo, leaving Real Madrid. I don't think the magnitude of that has still sunk in with everybody. It hasn't with me, because, you know, growing up in Brazil, spending my professional career in Europe, to have the feedback, you know, of what Real Madrid stands for, who they are, what they have become, to have somebody that is, you know, in waiting to be a rotation player on their senior level team that just went to the EuroLeague, you know, that just steamrolled Barcelona for the Spanish title. To have that kind of level of talent choose to go to BYU. And listen, I get it. NIL, money, all of that. But still, to choose to trust Kevin Young instead of trusting the people of Real Madrid over trusting those people, I'm still amazed and shocked that this has happened with good old Provo from, you know, the LDS church, you know, on the Rocky Mountains of the West. To me, I'm still in shock.
It's incredible. And BYU hasn't signed too many guys like him. I mean, you could argue that Sean Bradley is the greatest signing in BYU history. This dude's the number two pick after not playing for 2 years after his mission. Like, I would say Sean's number one. But that it's up there. Then yesterday, BYU gets a transfer from Rutgers, who is filling that defensive wing defender position that BYU has said that they wanted to seek. A guy that's going to be about 19 months off an ACL, should be healthy. Someone compared him to Andrew Wiggins to me when healthy, especially on the defensive end. What do you think of that commitment?
You know, and again, I know you can't say his name. I certainly can. I hope I'm pronouncing it right. Mwagmog. My favorite thing about him is you look at all of his stats, and I was taking a look yesterday. He has increased his minutes per game, his usage, his points, his role. I mean, this is a guy that next year should average close to like a 12 point per game, 5 or 6 rebounds a game, if not more. And so to have that type of player come to BYU, I'm a big fan of Brody Kozlowski. I've shared that with you guys. I've been high on him even by the time he was taking his visit to BYU. And even when he committed to USC, I always thought there was a big miss on BYU. Thankfully, Kevin Young, you know, was able to correct that path. But I think that between, you know, Mawat and Brody, he is going to give Brody the ability to kind of grow into the role. Now, I've always compared Brody to myself because, you know, tall, big, strong guy,
handsome,
can shoot the three. Hey, you said it, not me. All right. So now you, my mom, and my wife have something in common. So, but the one thing that I will say is it allows Brody to grow organically. You don't have to throw him into the fire. He doesn't have to take responsibilities right away, right? He is going to have Mawat. Yegor can also go ahead and play some of the four on certain moments. Yegor is more of a 1-2, right? But again, he's so versatile that you can throw him on any position except the five just because his frame is not big yet. And so, but I think this guy, and I think we have one or two more scholarships left. It's just an incredible thing what Kevin Young has accomplished. You know, I used to think that getting somebody that was the top assistant coach at the NBA level, you know, to convince that dude to drop out of the highest level of basketball in the world to come to BYU, I used to think that was the epitome of everything. But then to get somebody like Yegor and then to convince all of these key pieces and then to have recruits, I don't know if you're going to talk about this. Again, I certainly can. To have the number one prospect and recruit in the country for 2025 on campus today and tomorrow, I mean, the things that Kevin Young are doing are just mind-blowing. And wow, certainly it's incredible what has accomplished the last, you know, 5-6 weeks.
It truly is. And it brings a massive smile to my face because I cannot wait for basketball season, which is wild. This has been the offseason of hoops, man. Men's basketball has dominated this offseason. It's been wild. Okay, given what you just said about Brody, BYU certainly needs to go and get a power forward, maybe even two. That's kind of the missing position, it feels like. Do you agree with that assessment? Because right now, if we started the season, I think Brody Kozlowski would be the starting four if the season started today.
Yes and no. Not that I'm saying no because I'm disagreeing with you. I would hope that he wouldn't be the starter, right? Having been in that position where you are a highly touted recruit coming out of high school, all of the hype, you know, my senior year, I led the state of Nevada in points and rebounds. And Brody very much has dominated high school hoops. But it is a different gear that you have, but you have to learn to use it. And it's not a simple light switch. And so understanding the level that that Big 12 basketball requires, I would hope that Brody would be the backup. Now, I was extremely lucky because I play behind a player of the year, Keena Young, right? We're not going to have that type of level here, but I also think Brody is much better than I ever was, you know? And so from that perspective, you know, can Mawat play a little bit of the four and give Brody a little bit of that, you know, hey, 10, 15 minutes a game burner so he gets his feet wet? I don't know. If you bring another four-man, that is legit a four-man that will play, you know, 5, 10, 15 minutes, you know, maybe 20, 25 minutes a game. How do you intertwine Mawat with that? I think those are great problems to have, right? The one thing that, if anything, that last season has shown us is that you need to have a 9-10 player rotation for you to be able to be successful. Look at Fuse. I'm very high on Fuse. I think Fuse is a dominant force. I was completely wrong. I thought he was going to struggle in the Big 12. But, Jeremy, you follow the team just as close as I do, if not more. Fuse was never 100% healthy, except for spurs of the season. Take the game against West Virginia. Fuse dominated West Virginia on the road, but he could never replicate that because he didn't have the ability, the time to rest, and so on. So I think having a 10-man rotation is absolutely important for you to be able to be successful. And so adding another piece to your point, I think it's very important. I think it's key for our success. And, you know, knowing Kevin Young from his NBA experience, going 8, 9, 10 men deep on a rotation as you're in the middle of the regular season, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he's more successful at that than BYU has been in the past.
I agree with you. And BYU was pretty deep last year. They were going about 10 deep. And they've got two scholarships left. And I think BYU feels pretty good about most of the roster. I'm interested to see the competition during the summer of who emerges as kind of the initial starters. But it's really exciting because there's a lot of talent on this team. You've been involved with some workouts with some players during the non-live period. How's it going and who are you working out with?
Yeah, I think it's no secret. I'm extremely close to Trevanell. You know, Trev and I go back from, you know, even before COVID, which it feels like it was a century ago. But, you know, and we've always been close. And he came, you know, we've talked and decided to do, you know, some summer workouts. And that's what we've been doing. It's been fun, right? Brody has joined us. Kristen and I went to BYU together because I've been such a fan of her, of him. You know, we communicated and he is working out with us as well. Trey has joined us. Jackson Robinson joined us a few times, but I guess, you know, that he's also, you know, he who shall not be named moving forward. And so, and then also Dallin and Trey, You know, Richie Saunders is back. He was working out with his dad, and, you know, he was there as well. And so, obviously, they're going to start, you know, a little bit more official things this week. And so we're probably only going to do a couple of times a week now. It's more of a can we duplicate about an hour and 15 minutes that I'm there with them? Can we do 5-6 drills and do it at game speed, doing things like back pedal threes and coming off and catch and shoot and doing a dribble, right? And hey, what are some of the things that you want to work on, right? You know, and I've shared this before with Trevin. Trevin was the best shooter in the country for about 3/5 of the season, right? What can we do to make sure that he is the best shooter of the country for the whole year? And I don't think necessarily he's working on his shooting. And he and I talk about this all the time. And I think I posted on social media, you know, make them call a timeout. So it's all mental things. What can you do to make sure that you knock down 2, 3, 4, 5 threes in a row by sprinting to the corner, by crossing, you know, between baseline to baseline, doing things to trick your body to get tired while you also having to make sure that you make the shot, right? And so those are things that there were two things why I lasted as long as I did in my career. One was because, you know, my basketball IQ and understanding and reading and know how to make the right play most of the time. And the other one was my jump shot, right? It's definitely not because of my explosiveness or my athleticism. I always joke around that I wasn't a professional athlete. I was a professional basketball player. And, you know, because of that, I learned a lot. And, you know, I'm passing on to Trevin and, you know, talking with Dallin about a few things about his left hand and the timing of his shooting and that sort of thing. And then with Brody is everything, all of the knowledge that I have, you know, from somebody that was in that position, that was a highly touted recruit that came in, you know, we haven't had a freshman of the year since I won the award. And so, but what can we do? What can I pass it on to him so he can create his own story, his own narrative, by learning just from osmosis instead of learning by making mistakes? And so it's been a blast. I love the access that I have. All, you know, obviously I've always been around the program, but it's been fun to see these guys put in the work and be a part of that as well.
That's awesome. And these guys are working hard. And as you mentioned, today is the day that they report and start practicing. I don't believe all the players are there quite yet. A couple have to be announced, as mentioned, as we talked about. One from Russia, one from Rutgers. And we'll see what this lineup looks like. JT, we appreciate the time. And thanks for joining the program, as always.
Hey, I appreciate it. You and I need to take Spence to lunch and show him what, you know, really Brazilian meals look like.
Absolutely.
And, it is overdue. And so I appreciate you guys having me. And always and forever, go Cougs.
JT, I want to go to lunch, man.
Awesome. We're going on JT.
I want to go to lunch.
Yeah, we're going to Chicago.
What's your favorite, like, true Brazilian dish, by the way?
Dish? Just straight up.
Could be a specific meat.
Churrasco, which is the barbecue. Yeah.
Just straight, okay.
Yeah.
JT, I'm game, bro.
And it's a rodizio, which means, or rodizio. They bring it to you, which is nice. They would have pizza places in Brazil where they did that, too. I wish we did this here. I think it's way better. You sit there, and they bring you different slices of pizza, some that are sweet, by the way. Ooh. Like a sweet cream with strawberries. Like, that it's not all just tradition.
It sounds okay.
Instead, you're like, I must eat one flavor of an entire pizza.
No.
Why?
No.
Why? We need to do this in the States.
Okay.
Come on.
Let's implement that Brazilian culture, shall we? Yeah, at least that part.
Oh, it's the beautiful people. Check out the latest Cougar Tailgate podcast featuring BYU football sports information directors Brett Pine and Duff Tittle, our homies, to discuss their new book, 100 Years of BYU Football. You can find it wherever you get your podcast. We're going to have them on this show, too, to talk about it soon enough.
Muito bem.
Yeah, very nice.
Up next, not one, but two former Batcats get the call to the MLB show this weekend. How'd they fare in their big league debuts? This is BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Yo, what up? Follow BYU Sports Nation on social. We've got content all the time, Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer. He is Jerem. Let's get to a busy day's worth of headlines.
Four of BYU football's kick times for the 2024 season were released over the weekend. Southern Illinois at 6 Mountain on Big 12 Now on ESPN+. At SMU is at 6 Central on ESPN2, all these local sites. At Wyoming, 7 Mountain on CBS Sports Network. And Oklahoma State on October 18th is at 8:15 Mountain on ESPN. Also, as mentioned, ESPN's first FPI rankings of the season are out. BYU 73rd, second lowest percentage chance to win the Big 12. It's at a whopping 0.5%.
Right where they want to be. BYU basketball officially announcing the field for the 2024 Rady Children's Invitational in San Diego. The tournament features, of course, BYU, Purdue, NC State, and Ole Miss. It'll be played on November 28th and 29th. By the way, Joe Lunardi, he's back at it. Has BYU right now a 9 seed in his latest bracketology. Down 3 spots from where BYU finished as a 6 seed in last season's tournament. BYU basketball begins summer practices today.
How about 2 Final Four teams in that tournament?
Amazing.
That's pretty good. Big 12 Commissioner Brett Yormark announced this past weekend the conference will distribute an estimated $470 million to the 14 members for the 23-24 season. This makes a new record set the previous year at $440 million. The distributions come from media rights, bowl games, compensation, and Spencer Linton's donation.
Not much. Pennies, the widow's mite. Former BYU baseball players Daniel Schneeman and Justin Sterner each make their Major League Baseball debuts over the weekend. Sterner on Friday night for the Tampa Bay Rays, pitching 2 shutout innings against the Orioles, gave up just 2 hits and struck out 2 batters. Schneeman making his debut for the Cleveland Guardians against the Washington Nationals on the first pitch he saw
right
in Major League Baseball. Doubled into right field, driving in the only 2 runs the Indians scored in yesterday's game.
They're the Guardians now, but yeah.
Sorry. The Guardians scored in yesterday's game.
Incredible, right?
Wild.
Oh, so happy for him.
It's been a long road for him. Last summer, Schneeman joined us on BYU Sports Nation to discuss what it would mean for him to get the call up to the bigs.
I'd be lying if I said I didn't think about, you know, getting that call up every once in a while. But yeah, it's just there's so many things that can, you know, occupy your mind. And so I just, like I said, I just try to take it day by day, one at a time. And obviously I hope that time comes, whether it's this year or next year or whenever. But yeah, just especially learning some of the things I did at BYU with Craig, just like the mental part of it and just trying to stay in the present. And then just, like I said, focus on what's helped me have success this year.
Another win for Dr. Craig Manning in the sports mental health conversation. He worked extensively with Daniel. Yep. Jeremy, he got to the show by dominating day after day after day. His consistency was incredible. It's only a matter of time, and then he makes the most of it yesterday.
You can tell how long ago that was by his hair. He's got long hair now.
Long hair now, for sure. By the way, Schneeman and Sterner joined Michael Rucker in the bigs, who was with the Phillies. So 3 former Batcats now in the MLB.
I'll tell you in a minute how long that's been. Last time since that. Runner Megan Hunter, 1 of 3 finalists for the Honda Inspiration Award. As a finalist, Hunter overcame a serious car accident to become a first-team All-American in the 800. Last year at Outdoor Nationals, and the Cougars signed Andy Agard from Lone Peak, who's a 2-time state cross-country champ and a top 20 national recruit.
The rich get richer for BYU runners. Zach Blair finished 24th at the RBC Canadian Open over the weekend. At 6 under par, earned him a nice little check of $83,000 and change for finishing 24th. That's
like
good
that.
Living.
Like
Daniel Summerhayes tied for 4th, shooting 4 under par at the Rex Hospital Open. He's back on the Korn Ferry Tour, which is one step below the PGA. This moves Summerhayes up to number 26 in the Korn Ferry Tour standings. Finishing the season in the top 30 would send him back to the PGA Tour next year with his player card. Those are today's headlines. Now, some opinions in the whip. Cougar Whip Round presented by Maersk, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner.
What'd you make of having not one but 2 former Cougs debuting the show over the weekend?
We've been asking for a while, like, when's the next guy going to make the jump? When is this going to happen, specifically for Schneeman? Sterner actually got it.
That was
a day before
for me.
Daniel Schneeman did, but wild that it happened in one weekend, and both performed well. Once you get up there, you want to stay there. And I'll say this about Daniel Schneeman. It's one thing to get called up to a team that's struggling because they're looking for some infusion of talent and some energy. He joined the first place Cleveland Guardians. That team's in first place in their division. They're 20 games over 500.
Put him at second base. It's the first pitch he sees for a 2-RBI double. Come on now. You have to go back to 2017, by the way, to have 3 Cougs in the majors. You had Brugman, Hanneman, and Guthrie was still in the league. To have 3 at the same time. So it's been a hot minute.
Okay. kickoff times for four BYU football games announced. If you could make one change to what those times ultimately turned out to be, what would it be?
I like three of the four. The only one I would change is Southern Illinois. There's no reason to have it at that late at night at 6, in my opinion. 1 o'clock would have been great.
Isn't it so hot, though, in August? Yeah. So hot.
Let's play. Southern Illinois, by the way, pretty good. Lindy's says it's the second most likely game for a Power 4 team to lose to an FCS team. Southern Illinois, decent. Like, you got to...
They can ball.
It makes me a little nervous. A little nervous
BYU
in the opener.
BYU in store for another Portland State or Sam Houston State scenario here?
I just want to win, but I would like to look good doing it.
Okay.
Not me, the team. Yeah.
Listen, the Cougs take all these questions, just use it as motivation. I would make one small change. I don't want to play. I want nothing to do with a Laramie night. I want nothing to do with a Laramie night.
How about nothing to do with a Laramie?
Afternoon, please. Like, I would move that to an afternoon kick for sure.
That just screams 9 Eastern CBS.
Laramie Nights!
That sounds like a terrible country song. Pro Football Focus ranked the top 32 linebackers in the NFL. Had Fred Warner at number 1, Sione Takitaki, now with the Patriots, by the way, at number 28. Ooh. Is Takitaki the most underrated BYU player in the NFL?
Based on this list, yes. Like, if he's a top 30 linebacker in the National Football League, and we're not talking about him more, which we kind of just, we don't, because it's probably because Fred is so good and he gets naturally a lot of the spotlight. Yeah, he might be the most underrated, underappreciated Cougar in the NFL.
He is not, because he was rated here.
Okay.
You know who's not rated?
Okay.
Kyle Van Noy doesn't even play the first couple of games for the Ravens. Had 9 sacks, which was top 30 in the NFL last year. Part of a tremendous team. How about Michael Davis? Undrafted corner.
Another good
option.
Been
in the league for now 7 full seasons.
He's hanging out with Dax Milne in Washington.
Yes, he is. Do you think they're literally hanging out right now?
I don't know. I'll have to text Dax and ask
maybe.
About that.
Yeah. Are you hanging out with
Michael
Davis? Out,
Mike, or we could text Michael, too.
Yeah.
Are you guys hanging out? You should.
Yeah, what's going on, Mike?
Both great guys.
Yeah.
And both soft-spoken. Like, they both are kind of that same ilk.
Mm-hmm.
They're just kind of behind
just
the scenes.
Just kind of do their thing on the field.
Which naturally fits the underrated conversation. All right. Up next, who's the best BYU quarterback all time? We don't have enough time over the summer to adequately get into this, because if you
What do you mean? We got tons of time.
Man. Everyone's going to have a different opinion for sure. We'll introduce our 16 quarterback bracket next.
This portion of BYU Sports Nation is presented by Maersk, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner.
The winner of the 1990 Heisman Award is Ty Detmer. Ty Detmer of BYU. Ty Detmer.
Well, he's still scrambling. He's going to. Now he throws it. Touchdown! Waiting. Here's the pass. Touchdown! They couldn't bring him down, and he finally threw it in the end zone.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We're live in Studio B alongside Jerem Jordan. I'm Spencer Linton. It's time to introduce a new BYUSN summer segment special,
yes,
which we will present throughout the entire month of June. We're trying to figure out who you think is the greatest BYU quarterback of all time. And maybe you've heard the Cougars have produced some of the all-time college football quarterback greats, including a Heisman winner, a national champion, and multiple college football Hall of Famers.
Okay, we need your help. So during the month of June, we're going to take the top 16 quarterbacks of your history. We've seeded them. We'll show you them in a second. Narrow it down to one. We'll present two quarterbacks, a show. We'll have a poll on X and Instagram that you can vote in. So let's take a look at the bracket and talk about these seeds, Spencer.
If you don't like the seedings, take it up with the committee. Who's the committee? I have no idea, but take it up with them.
At Colton Potter.
Okay, we'll start here. Top corner, the number one seed, the Heisman Trophy winner, Ty Detmer, taking on Virgil Carter. The winner there will take on the 8-9 matchup, which is interesting in that it is Zach Wilson and the man who trained him.
Did you know that he drove to John Beck?
All the way to California?
I heard that.
The 4-13 matchup, Robbie Bosco and Jaren Hall. Jaren Hall, sneaky 13 seed, right?
Sneaky 13.
Mark Wilson, a number 5 seed, and the Dominator is the 12 seed. Jaren, what do you have on the other side of the bracket?
Steve Young and Gary Shidey, tremendous matchup there. How about Gifford Nielsen versus Taysom Hill?
Whoa!
That is juicy.
Woo!
A classic 6-11. Taysom Hill represents Duquesne. Jim McMahon and John Walsh. Too soon? Jim McMahon and John Walsh. And then Max Hall and Steve Sarkisian. There's not a lot of matchups in this where I go, oh, that guy's going to win in an overwhelming way. Like, this is going to be a ton of fun in June. But today's matchup, Spence, is the 1 versus 16.
Let's go.
We got the Theismann versus the first great quarterback in BYU history. Don't at me, Virgil Carter. Ty Detmer played from 1987 to 1991 at BYU, of course culminating in the 1990 Heisman Trophy. 15,000 passing yards at BYU.
Is that good?
121 touchdowns, 29 wins as a starter. 59 NCAA records, tied three others. Still to this day, seventh in career passing yards in NCAA history, 10th in touchdowns. He is one of the best, if not the best, quarterback at BYU. He's one of the best college football quarterbacks ever.
I know some of you are thinking, yeah, but McMahon broke 70 NCAA. You're right, he did. That's what makes this so fun. If you have a problem with it, when it gets to
vote.
That, if it gets to that, just vote.
Yeah.
You tell us how you feel. Literally, you push a button and you can vote on that. So taking on the great Ty Detmer, the Heisman Trophy winner, is one of the most underappreciated and unknown quarterbacks in the list still, Virgil Carter.
I love Virgil Carter,
1963
dude.
To 1966, dominated at BYU. The Cougars' first notable passing quarterback. He was doing things that were unheard of in college football at the time, specifically totaling over 5,000 career passing yards, 50 passing touchdowns, helped BYU to their first ever conference championship, added over 1,200 yards and 18 touchdowns as a runner. He was a dual threat, Jeremy.
Yes, he was.
All-American honorable mention, WAC Player of the Year, and he led the NCAA in touchdown passes and total offense in 1966. He set six NCAA records during his career as well.
BYU's first WAC titles in 65, Virgil's the guy as a junior. He had 599 yards of total offense in a game.
Ooh.
In the 60s, it'd be like a 1,200 now with inflation. Give me some Phil Odell too, by the way. His main wide receiver, who is kind of a split end. He is one of the GOATs in BYU history. The first great pass catcher in BYU history. Love me some Virgil. I love Ty. I know Ty's going to win this. I'm voting for Virgil in this one just because Virgil needs some love, dude. I love me some Virgil Carter.
Jeremy's channeling his inner UMBC.
Yes.
His Fairleigh Dickinson.
Yes. Give me Virgil. No, we love Ty. This is a great matchup. This is one where Ty's probably going to win in an overwhelming sense, but you got to understand and know who Virgil Carter is, and we have an agenda, you and I, on the show to make sure that people know about Elvin Fortuy and Virgil Carter and Kresimir Čosić.
Yes.
And these guys that were like pre-1980.
The Gary Scheides, the Pete Van Valkenburgs,
coming
the
up,
Matt Mendenholz.
Coming up this summer, we haven't announced it quite yet, I think, until this moment, is we've got shows by decade coming up. The 1970s, BYU football, 1980s, part one and two. Mm. We're very excited about these programs.
Cannot wait. All right, to vote, go to at BYU Sports Nation on X and vote in the poll there, or you can go to BYU Sports Nation's Instagram story and page and get your vote in there. We will combine the two to come up with the number that all of you who actually take the time to go to social media and vote on will have given to us.
And the voting starts in about 5 minutes or so, maybe 10 minutes, so get out there and vote.
Voting ends tomorrow, by the way, at 10 a.m. Mountain. So noon Eastern, 10 a.m. Mountain. We'll essentially give it a 24-hour cycle.
We'll tell you the winner. We'll move on to the next matchup. Let's go. I can't wait. It's going to be a fun June. Okay, if you miss any interviews, shows, games, other polls you want to vote on, find them on BYUSN.com. Download the free BYU TV app.
Do you believe BYU football is better than the number 73 team in the country? This is BYU Sports Nation.
Number one in my heart, bro.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back with our question of the day. BYU football, number 73 in ESPN's FPI rankings. Are they better than the 73rd rated team in the country? Our elite voice of the day presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated comes in from Rick Fox on X. Wait, that Rick?
The Rick Fox. I just watched Holes yesterday for the first time in my life. Rick Fox in that.
Well, this Rick Fox says, people are more excited about BYU basketball for a reason. Maybe the BYU football team will surprise us. We will see. Remember, BYU basketball next to zero expectations before last season.
This is what we're hoping. Yes. Pull a basketball, football. Let's do it.
Today's Rise and Shout Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
We got to give it to our two guys that made it to the big leagues over the weekend. Justin Sterner, who was undrafted because the COVID draft, they trimmed that. Otherwise, he's probably a pick. Return missionary making it to the show. And then Daniel Schneeman, 33rd round pick, who has really toiled
6 years
in the minors.
6 years.
Made his debut yesterday. First pitch he saw, two RBI double. How about that?
Magical moment.
So excited
Watch
for him.
Watch his family go nuts in the stands.
Wife Allie's the softball assistant. She's doing great
work. That's great stuff. Our thanks to today's guest, JT, Jonathan Tavernari.
Sorry to Dennis Pitta. We're running out of time. You never made it to Major League Baseball, Dennis.
Hello,
Jerem. He didn't play in a professional league, though, I heard that. For Jerem, I'm Spencer. Shout out to Corey Snyder of BYU Baseball. Great. We'll see you tomorrow. Go Cougs. Vote in the poll.
Virgil Carter.